You've heard me talk for years about the breakthrough health benefits of CBD. Now, our friends at CV Sciences have developed an innovative suite of non-CBD products that mimic CBD's healthful effects. CV Sciences' new Plus Health CBD-free line of gummies and capsules. The Plus Health Clarity gummies are packed with DMAE, lion's mane, and rhodiola designed to boost your cognitive performance, enhance memory, and provide natural energy. Need a little peace and calm? Plus Health's Peace Gummies, soothing blend of L-theanine, lemon balm, and St. John's wort supports serenity and relaxation without the drowsiness. And if you're on a journey towards optimal health, the Reshape capsules are packed with powerful ingredients like berberine and OEA to support metabolic health and help maintain healthy blood sugar levels. For more information and to order, head over to pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman. Use coupon code Hoffman30. For 30% off. That's pluscbdoil.com/Hoffman for the new Plus Health non-CBD collection. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking about hydration, a very important, ignored component of health. We want to make sure that we're well hydrated with good sources of hydration. And we're talking to an expert, Dr. Dana Cohen. Dr. Cohen has written a book called Quench, which introduces the subject of hydration. She's followed up with a book called Fuel Up, which has practical suggestions for how to eat your water, right? Is that kind of the catchphrase of that book?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, the overarching thing is how to use it. I think the tagline is use your blender to cheat your way to good health. You know, a blender is, every kitchen I've ever known has a blender, you know, and what an easy tool to eat your water, make smoothies, that kind of thing. But we have tons of recipes in there, even for like sauces and condiments and then fun ways to use it, even desserts. And it's, you know, the bottom line is how to get ultra processed foods out of your diet. You know, UPFs are the buzzword. Everybody's talking about UPFs now. And there's
except the government, which has decided that UPFs really, it's too soon. It's kind of, the science is divided on UPFs. And, you know, it's how do you really define UPFs? And so we're gonna whiff on recommending that people avoid ultra processed foods for dietary guidelines for 2025 to 2030. So,
Yeah, so sad. But, you know, the research, even looking at all the NHANES data, there is absolutely an association, a link to the more consumption of ultra-processed foods, the more at risk you are for obesity, for cardiovascular disease, for all the chronic diseases, certain cancers. Like you name it,
even, now, even inflammatory bowel disease has been linked to lately.
Yes.
Even I just came across an article that links psoriasis to ultra processed foods. You know, I watch a fair amount of cable TV. You just can't imagine the number of commercials that you see for these new powerful medications for psoriasis. Very powerful medications, immunosuppressive drugs with a long litany of side effects. They're expensive too. They're injectable drugs.
Yeah.
Well, there's a link between ultra-processed foods and psoriasis. Whoa, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, like just bottom line, even that people have to know we're meant to eat real food, right? Those foods are processed in a way that makes them addictive, makes them more sugary, makes them taste better. There, you know, you could look at them, you just look at a label. If you don't understand the things in there, like it's just, you know, and something like 65% of our diets are composed of, you know, the American diet is composed of ultra processed foods. We need to just take small steps and really start to lessen that more and more. And it's not hard. It's not hard to do.
Indeed. You know? Your book points the way. You know, but I got to say, you know, one of the hazards, in quotation marks, of blended food and smoothies is that for some people, they switch from eating, you know, cakes, pies,
and carbohydrate-laden foods to smoothies that are laden with, quote, natural sugar. And that's problematic. So I hope you point out that perspective in your book, because people are sometimes never happier than they when they make a smoothie and they throw in, you know, a banana and some juice, maybe some orange juice. And yeah, that ends up being a pretty caloric bomb.
Yeah, we definitely mention it. We definitely talk about it. But, you know, you have to know, as I know, in doing this a very long time, that diets don't work, right? And, you know, in my career, having worked for Dr. Atkins, having prescribed an Atkins diet or a ketogenic diet, it takes a very rare person that does well in that diet and does well for the rest of their lives. It just doesn't happen. People's weight goes up and down. And what happens is when they go off of it, they're shoveling in. They've been so deprived. They're shoveling in the cakes and the, you know, and then they're like, oh, I got to go back. And they just don't even know how to eat a well-balanced diet. You know, they think that, oh my gosh, now if I eat grains, you know, I'm not doing well. I'm not supposed to eat grains. You know, I'm not even supposed to eat fruit, you know? So, we try to teach people, we meet people where they are. And, I think that, yes, I mean, sugar is an issue. We give them in the book, we give them sort of, gradated, right. You know, start here, change your taste buds. So like, you know, a little bit fruit heavy when you're first starting out on this. Because, I mean, people don't eat vegetables. There are people I still know who hate vegetables. My co-author is one of them. That's how he's a marathon runner. He's in his mid-60s.
He may be one of those super tasters who find the taste of vegetables.
He absolutely
bitter.
Is.
You know, there's people with bitter taste receptors that are sort of hyper-expressed. And they, just for childhood, they just disdain those flavors.
Yeah. But he's changed his life by making smoothies and getting the fuel that he knows that he needs in order to survive his entrepreneurial ship and his marathon running. You know, it changed his life. He invented the Nutribullet. That's how he got started on this whole
fantastic
thing. Sold that company and now has a new one called The Beast, which is beautiful, but and functional, highly functional. But he does live this blending lifestyle. But when I say a blending lifestyle, I just want to be clear. You do not blend every single meal. We need to chew. We need to eat. We need to savor, enjoy our meals, that kind of thing.
Yep. Even it sounds like a blended lifestyle sounds like hospital-based nutrition for people with swallowing problems.
Yeah, no, that's right. Not this. But we do teach people to even, you know, how to roast a chicken because we've lost the art of cooking.
Okay.
So there's a lot in here. There's a lot on emotional eating, psychological, habit forming. So we talk about it all. There's, you know, ideally, I would love to get this book in the hands of people who've never picked up a health book before, you know,
Okay. Like
your audience. I'm sure there's members of their family who they can't get to change.
Right.
They can start here.
We're largely preaching to the choir because these health intelligent medicine listeners are health aficionados by and large. But we want to get to the general populace who could make incremental changes. Small changes that could immeasurably improve their health, right?
Totally. Really small changes. And, you know, the other truth is, I always get nervous, especially like when I'm talking to you, my mentor, you know, I feel like I'm going to get eye rolling, like, oh, it's a smoothie cook. But the truth is, we all need to hear it. We all need to be reminded of it. We all need to hear it. Get more vegetables in. There was a study that came out last year about the 30 different plants a week. You know, how many people are doing that? Like, you know, so mix it up, get some diversity, have a smoothie a day, go back to it if you've lost that art of doing your smoothies,
right.
Or hydrating,
right.
You know, stay on top of it.
One of the first things that I put out, you know, many, many years ago, even before I met you, was, you know, I told patients to make themselves a green drink, and it didn't have to be fancy. It could just be blending some romaine lettuce. And, you know, maybe, you know, a quarter of a pepper, but concentrating on relatively low carb vegetables and drink that down because it may be too onerous to, you know, prepare a salad or, you know, chew your way through kale or things like that. But at least you could get a smattering of some of those nutrients by making what I then term green water, because basically it's just green water.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're getting the fiber, you're getting some nutrients.
So, by the way, you prefer the fiber, so you don't like some of these things that make the pulp extraction. You would like people to get the fiber. Yeah.
No, you definitely don't want to juice. Juicing is a whole separate thing. And no, I'm not a
So it's not juicing. It's okay. Juicing. It's like the whole thing.
You want the whole, you want to blend it. So you want to masticate it. You want to keep that fiber in there. You don't want to get rid of the fiber.
Is the fiber kind of a matrix for the water, that it's like a delivery system for the water in some way?
Yeah. I mean, I believe so. I can't prove this to you, but I do think that that fiber holds onto the water better, almost like a sponge. I think it slowly releases the water. I think there's a lot of reasons. Plus we're getting more fiber. Like so many of us don't get enough fiber in our diets. You know, so yeah, that too. You know, as far as eating that, drinking that green drink, that's a great thing to do. I think that's a big ask of a lot of people, though.
Yeah, that's a little bit more the initiated, shall we say.
Yeah. I do think it's an ask, and especially people are picking up this book for the first time. That might be a little bit like, oh, that's too hard. I hate vegetables. I can't even hold my nose to get that down.
Yeah, I think that your book might end up on sort of the remainder rack in a health food store, you know, like one of the really
discounted
titles, right?
Yeah.
Make your healthy green drink every morning with fresh kale and broccoli.
Yeah. It's great advice.
It's
really good advice, but to get somebody to do that, it's hard. You know, but we do talk at the end of the book, we talk about the gradation of smoothies that's going from very fruit heavy to what we call green slime, you know?
Okay.
So literally if you can get to the green slime, like you're doing your body great.
Okay.
Work your way up to that. If you can, you know, I am once again of the ilk is of meeting people where they are, what they're willing to do and making small changes that will have longer lasting and hopefully big effects eventually. And you add these things up and they really do make a difference.
On another subject, are you optimistic with what's happening on the health scene in America? You know, I know that, regardless of one's political orientation, you know, some people dismayed by the results of the election, other people exhilarated. That there is certainly a greater emphasis on MAHA, making America healthy again. And are you seeing this among your patients? Are you seeing this when you go to conferences? Do you feel that our views, which frankly have been a little bit fringy, you know, like clean water, clean air, you know, ditch the ultra-processed diet, that these views are actually being platformed in the mainstream?
Yeah, I mean, I still see, you know, I see both ways. I just see it both ways. I see the people who are, chastising RFK. I do think that he is going, hopefully, if he gets to stay in office and he doesn't get fired in 2 weeks, we'll see, you know.
Right.
But,
if he gets approved, because it's going to be a tremendous opposition, because the whole scientific establishment, the pharmaceutical industry, big food, big chemistry, big agriculture, they're all arrayed against him. And these are very moneyed interests. The insurance industry, you know, health insurance industry, there's a lot of players who feel threatened by him. In addition to people who question his bona fides vis-a-vis things like vaccination, you know, and the autism vaccine link, and you know, some of the ideas he's espoused, A, if he gets approved, and B, if he doesn't run afoul of, essentially, this is kind of a paradox here, because you've got a guy who's a big environmentalist, and he's signing on to a Republican regime, which is drill, baby, drill, and deregulate industry. So you know, I just see that there's going to be a tension, even if he does get approved. So, you know, you make the point succinctly, you know, if he doesn't get fired, but there, essentially there are going to be, there's going to be pushback. The other concern I have is, are Americans ready to be made healthy again? Because you remember the reaction, the enormous reaction that they had to Bloomberg's modest proposition that we limit the size of sodas in New York City. It wasn't like you couldn't buy soda. It wasn't like we were going to tax soda. It wasn't like we were going to prohibit you from getting it. It's just that you couldn't buy the big gulp, you know, the 36-ounce container. You had to buy a smaller container. So you could actually buy, you know, 12 8-ounce containers in sequence. But they called it like nanny statism. And there was a lot of money poured into it, excuse the pun, by the soft drink industry to push back against this modest proposal. And Americans were ready to be made healthy again.
But I'm not sure about that. Who was really given that information? You know, was it the media saying that America's not ready, or were Americans really saying that? I don't know. I don't know who to believe anymore. I will tell you that all of these things are, you know, you can, I am so surprised by people now and their knowledge of health and wellness. So people are learning, they're hungry, they're understanding it. So all of this is good. All of it is good. And I do think that people are listening. I think
there is a great democratization of information because of, you know, the internet, social media, that more and more people are learning about this. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why Intelligent Medicine is a success, because people are passionate. Here's a disturbing finding. And this just came across the wires. JAMA study, new big international study. They looked at the gap between life expectancy and health span. Okay, you know, maybe you can define that. You know, lifespan, how long you live. Health span, how long you live healthily, not debilitated, not dependent on medication or, you know, dialysis or whatever life-sustaining measures, right? Quality of life essentially is associated with health span. So what this
and
weather
we're
found,
like one of the worst, right?
Well, they looked at 183 countries across the world. You know, even in impoverished countries, wealthy countries, you know, westernized, third world, 183 countries. Where do you think the United States fell in the gap between life expectancy and health span?
I'm going to guess. I'm going to say 63.
We were dead last. Dead last.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
So part of the reason is that in some countries, life is short. So, you know, you live to middle age and then you die. Okay. So there's a small gap between, you know, the time that your health deteriorates and the time you die. Here in the United States, we sustain life longer. We have all these life-saving measures. But part of it is that, frankly, we don't have the greatest longevity in the world. We're actually way behind many countries. You know, Japan, notably, Switzerland.
10 years.
Many countries exceed us. So this has actually been pointed out by RFK Jr. quite well, because he's now gained a kind of a national megaphone to talk about these issues. But we are dead last. The average gap was 9.3 years in terms of the difference between lifespan and health span. Ours was 12.4 years. The worst in the world. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is, and they also pointed out that this is almost entirely attributable to what are called non-communicable diseases. That's, you know, a medical term for these chronic debilitating diseases that are mostly preventable via lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Ron, this book is my sort of dipping my toe in this gargantuan, monstrous effort in trying to change our food system. You know, like it is, it's a big deal. Like, you know, like him or not like, whatever, Mark Hyman, you know, he is a pioneer in this. Like he is pushing the food industry. I mentioned one thing on his website, and I don't know if they're bots or something, but people were all over him in a bad way. And I'm like, oh my God, he just made a little comment about food. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand. But this book, in this very simple book, is my dipping my toe and saying, like, you know what, start here. We have to start somewhere. And it does take into account hydration and food and exercise and stress. You know, it's constantly just going back to the things that we, you know, going back to basics, going back to a Mediterranean diet. You know, there was a time where I would have felt ridiculous saying that to another holistic doctor. Like, it's almost too simple. And we're not talking about something so deep like as mitochondrial
keto health versus, you know, like ultra low carb, you know, less than 20 grams of carbohydrate per day. You know, we're used to working in these rarefied realms sometimes with our patients who come with a condition like diabetes, and we want to, you know, turn it around with a very, very draconian revolution in their diet and lifestyle. But for the vast percentage of Americans, small incremental changes could make a huge difference, right?
Yeah. That's what I am. That's my flag in the pole. You know, that
right.
is my.
You're planting your flag.
Start here. Yeah, planting my flag, and saying we have to start somewhere. And the greatest thing that we can do to start is getting rid of these ultra processed foods. Start cooking for ourselves. Start eating more food as Mother Nature intended. Right. So plants and vegetables and nuts and seeds and grains. Real grains, and, you know, and doing all the good things. And it's not that hard. And it doesn't mean that you're not going to ever have a piece of cake at a birthday party again, right? You have to just find your way into changing that 65% of our diet right now that's UPFs, and start to lessen it. Even a 5 or a 10% shift in that is a big deal.
Yeah, I was at a kid's bowling party the other day, and the food choices were chicken nuggets, pizza, and birthday cake. And believe you me, I had all three, and I felt good about it. And then, you know, got back on the horse and rode later on. You know, with my generally healthy diet, but, you know, really,
literally a horse or your bicycle.
I also got out of my bicycle to, atone for some of those, caloric excesses. But, you know, I think that's also one of the ways to mitigate the effects of a diet that maybe not, you know, it's not always 100%. I think exercise plays a role. So, you know, these are, I think we have to look at all of the above approach, and look at a 90-10, approach. Which involves, you know, predominantly following a healthy path, but leaving room for some departure from what might call orthorexia, which is an overly fixated emphasis on all manners of healthy living. Because, you know, you might live longer, but it's sure going to seem like a lot longer. It's going to get tedious.
Yeah, you know, I think I talk about this also. I think for all the good that we've tried to do with our patients and putting them on, for example, a low FODMAPs diet, which works, like all these things work. They work in the short term. The problem is then how do we transition them into a more whole foods, you know, from that? Because then they've been on a low FODMAPs diet because they felt so good. Now it's years later and they can't introduce anything because their body just can't, you know, they're so restrictive in their diets that becomes the issue. You know, they've never really either addressed the root cause, you know, healing their gut maybe, and they can't reintroduce foods because they just haven't learned how the right way to do it. So we've in some way have taught them.
We've painted ourselves a little bit into a corner.
But the good news is we have to relearn. And, you know, my husband has given me permission to talk about this. He He's the prime example. He's somebody who all he's ever known in his life is a low-carb diet because that's the only thing that ever really works on him. And he has yo-yoed 30 pounds, 30, 40 pounds up and down, up and down, up and down for so many years.
On a low-carb diet.
On a low-carb diet. So yeah. the only thing that ever works for him supposedly is a low-carb diet. Because then when he goes off, goes back to the cakes and, and you know, he's been so deprived for so long. And then he thinks, like, I can't have grains. You know, he just doesn't know how to eat a well-rounded, a Mediterranean diet, right?
Right.
This is really what we should all be striving for. Lots of fish, lots of healthy fat, some grain, lots of vegetables, fiber, the whole thing, you know. So, yeah, but I think we've taught people that in many ways. He's changed and he's doing very well.
Yeah, I think sometimes, a little bit of moderation needs to be introduced into this because people tend to gravitate towards extremes and that is not a healthy pattern. Okay, so your book perfectly exemplifies that. Tell us about where people can obtain it, all the usual sources.
Sources, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, wherever books are sold.
It's called Fuel Up, which, and I'm quoting here, masterfully blends science with practical advice, making healthy eating accessible and enjoyable. Hey, how about some enjoyment? Enjoyable for everyone. So,
we've forgotten that. Food is meant to be enjoyed. It's family. It's rituals. It's community. You know, I think that's so important to enjoy food and enjoy the cooking of it. And it is a blender book that is the sort of gist of it. Most of the recipes are blender recipes, but one of the big things in the book, one of my impetuses for writing the book is that there's a steak sauce I love that the only reason I love it is because it has horseradish in it. I looked at the label and I was like, the first four ingredients were all four different kinds of sugar, including high fructose corn syrup. And I was like mortified. I was like, oh, what am I doing? I know better than this. And so I set out to create my own in a blender. And it was fun. You know, I literally took
it. It has the same tang and flavor characteristics, but with
just the horseradish. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just the only reason I love it is because of the horseradish. So
okay.
I literally started off with like Sir Kensington ketchup, which is a nice clean ketchup with horseradish. And I was like, wow, that's pretty good. Like that's easy. I could do that. And then it got a little more nuanced and caramelizing onions and starting to, you know, but the bottom line is that using a blender can be fun, especially with your kids, getting your kids involved. And for those of you who your family members have never done anything, start with a breakfast blend a day, like, you know, instead of eating that cereal or that, bagel and that kind of thing. Like, what a great way to start your day. That alone can be life-changing for somebody.
And can address the problem of chronic underhydration, right?
Yes.
Which is the theme of today's podcast and, you know, a very, very important theme that I think people should be mindful of because it can undermine your cognitive performance, can undermine your physical performance, and also lead to degenerative conditions, which can curtail your health span and your lifespan. So let's pay a little more attention to the issue of this oft-ignored problem, underhydration. And thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. So good to see you.
That's Dr. Dana Cohn. Great to see you as well. And a very happy holiday to you and your family. And we will see you again in 2025. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations. There were many important reasons why I started my FullScript online supplement dispensary. I wanted to offer you the same curated professional-grade supplement brands that I use, the ones I know and trust. I also wanted to ensure that they weren't counterfeit or expired. Recently, I've been hearing more and more about counterfeit or expired products purchased from online retailers. With FullScript, you can be confident your supplements are genuine and they'll arrive with optimal freshness and potency. Also, buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, and a highly rated mobile app. It's safe, secure, HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information and to start your free FullScript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals, including my custom targeted protocols that combine the products I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. To get started, just go to drhoffmanstore.com, drhoffmanstore.com.